Remember the song Bobby McFerrin, who's Irish, but sang it, well, that's an Irish name. I don't know anything about this guy. But this Jamaican song, Don't Worry, Be Happy. Remember? Yeah. Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. Oh, if it was just that easy, right? If it was that easy, but it's not. And we find that, you know, we worry about a lot of things. There's a lot of people who worry about a lot of stuff. Some people worry a lot more than other people. A lot of us need to stop worrying. But how do you do that? How do you do that? There's a story here about a woman who every night she went to bed worried that she was going to get robbed. And one night they heard a noise in the house, and the husband went down to investigate, and sure enough, there was a robber in the house. He said, "You got to come up and meet my wife. She's been waiting for you for 10 years. And the thought here is, a thief can come in your house and he can steal from you one day. Worry can rob you day after day after day. The text today in Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body or what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and your body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Think about that. You think by worrying that that's going to make things better? That's not how it works. Okay, it goes on. Verse 28. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yeah, I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. And if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father, he knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about self. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So here, the message is pretty clear, right? Pretty straightforward, pretty simple. Jesus says, stop it. Knock it off, all right? Stop worrying. He says it three times here. Verse 25, do not be anxious about your life. Verse 31, do not be anxious saying, what shall we eat? Verse 34, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Stop it. But we can't. We just continue to worry. We keep on worrying. And I would tell you, there's an aspect of worrying, being anxious, that can be good. It's a God-given emotion. All of us experience anxiety as a normal reaction, you know, when we're being threatened, when we feel in danger, you know, uncertain, or, you know, when you're in an important situation. And it's normal to have this anxiety, and it can enhance our, you know, some people's function, our motivation, our productivity. Some people work well under pressure. Maybe that's you. Do you work well under pressure? Maybe that's you. So some anxiety is to be expected, and it can be helpful. But unfortunately, that's typically not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the type of anxiety, the type of worry that keeps you awake at night. You can't let it go. You can't shake it. And there's no logical reason for it, really, if you think about it. And it has a way of crippling you. And this is not of God. And there's a global anxiety epidemic going on in our world right now. 4 to 5 million people struggle with anxiety, a lot of them on medicine. A lot of them are Christian. Listen to some of these testimonies from Christians. These people who say, this is a Christian who says, anxiety seems to be an everyday experience for me lately in one form or another. The degree varies according to the time or day. Another person says, even though I tell myself over and over there's nothing to worry about, I always find there is something to worry about. Another person says, I've been anxious about the future lately with graduation this summer and college. There are a lot of changes coming. Another person says, I've been struggling with anxiety for a while. I often wake up in the middle of the night covered in worry and fear. One person writes, I've been a Christian for 39 years now, and anxiety still comes. They can't shake it. Can't let it go. And these are Christians who are confessing this. The ignorant worry because they don't know enough. The knowledgeable worry because they know too much. The poor worry because they don't have enough. The rich worry because they're afraid of losing what they have. Old people worry because they're facing death. Young people worry because they're facing life. We're anxious about money. We're anxious about health. We're anxious about inflation, about relationships, about our looks, about our finances, you know, everything. Missionaries are anxious. Pastors are anxious. Everybody seems to get anxious. Someone has said that there are more people addicted to anxiety than to all the other addictions combined. So we know there's a problem. We know there's an issue. And you might be in your chair right now worried about what I'm getting ready to say. Why? Why are we worrying all the time? And the truth is, there's a lot of things to worry about. We worry, first of all, because bad things happen in this world. Bad things such as, you know, job cuts, illnesses, accidents, cars breaking, terrorism, supply chain disruptions. Which one of these is keeping you awake at night? What is it that you're obsessed with? What is it that you can't shake? And so bad things happen. We know, okay, bad things happen. And there's bad people in this world. Me and Stephanie, years ago, we bought a farm, and Stephanie's mom was really upset about this. She was really worried about it. And she told us, you know, she was really worried about us raising her grandchildren out on this farm someplace because there are snakes out there. And I looked at her and I said, I don't want to raise my family in a subdivision. There's people in there. So, I mean, choose your thing you're going to worry about here, you know? But the world has changed. We can't let our daughters ride their bikes and get too far away from us. You know, they can go out to the mailbox and back, but that's about it, you know. The world has changed. There's bad people in this world. There's bad things that happen in this world. And we also worry because we are not in control. Yeah, there's bad people in this world, and I can't do anything about it. There's bad things happening in this world, and I'm doing my best to protect my family from these things, to protect myself from these things, to protect the people I care about from these things. So we're not in control. Bad things happen. We're not in control. I also wrote down the third thing we worry about is money. We talked about that last week. I don't really want to talk about it again, but it's interesting here. Verse 25 comes right after verse 24, and it often happens that way. But verse 25, which is telling our text, don't worry. Last week's text, you can't serve two masters. You can't serve both God and money. Interesting that Jesus, he's tacking on here, now don't worry. Right after he talks about you can't serve God and money. Both people on the spectrum, poor and rich, they worry about money. I already said this. One worries because they may not have enough. The other worries because they might lose what they have. You can have a Mercedes-Benz or you can have an old clunker, and you can worry. The guy who has a Mercedes, he worries somebody's going to steal it. The guy with the old clunker worries that somebody's not going to steal it. You know, We worry about all this stuff. It says in Proverbs 30, verse 8 and 9, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of God. I mean, that's something to worry about. Lord, I don't want to be so rich that I don't need you. I don't want to be so poor that I do something that's bad and bring shame to my God. The bottom line is there's always things to worry about. So how do we overcome? How do we overcome these worries? And according to the text, first thing I see here, what Jesus says, Matthew 6, verse 26, look at the birds of the air. So Jesus is telling us to take up bird watching, right? Very relaxing. That's very relaxing. What does he say? They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? So first thing he says, look at the birds. But he also says in verse 28, look at the flowers. Look at the lilies. Why do you worry about your clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? So look at the birds. Look at the lilies. I'm thinking, oh, that's not working for me. It's got to be something more here. I think what Jesus is saying, look at God's creation, this well-tuned machine. It all takes care of itself. That's how God designed it. When you look at God's creation and see how God feeds the birds, how God takes care of all this stuff, it should bring us comfort. God's in control. I'm not in control, but God is in control. Look at the birds. It's not that they don't work. They just don't worry about where their food's going to come from. God takes care of them. And if he takes care of them, he will certainly take care of you, because you're of so much more value than what the birds are. I saw this. Said the robin to the sparrow, I would really like to know why these anxious human beings rush around and hurry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, I think it must be that they have no heavenly father such as cares for you and me. You know, that's the message the birds are getting when they see us all freaking out. They're thinking, man, they must not know God. The birds have a way of just trusting their creator and everything's okay. Lilies of the field. William Barclay, he says, were scarlet poppies that bloomed for only days on the hillside of Israel. And their beauty was overwhelming. Have you ever gone over a hillside and you just see the wildflowers and it's beautiful? I mean, God didn't have to do that, but he did that. It's beautiful. God's creation is beautiful, overwhelming. But William Barclay says, after a day of blooming, the women of Jesus' day threw handfuls of dried flowers into their ovens as kindling to get the fire going quickly. These beautiful flowers, within days later, are just thrown into the fire, used as kindling. Beautiful kindling. If God can make beautiful kindling, what can he do for us? Look at how he takes care of us. And the word is see the lilies of the field. Look, you need to circle that word see. Another translation would say consider the lilies of the field. Consider. Study carefully. That word see means to study carefully, to learn thoroughly by observation. You look at it, you observe, and what are you learning? What do you learn when you look at God's creation? I hope what you learn is you don't need to worry. What you do need to do is depend on God who created all this, who created you, who loves you, who cares about you. There's a third thing I want you to look at, but we're going to come back to that one. Let's talk about why we must overcome worry. But I wrote down this here. It seems like there's a lot of talk today about division in America. We're becoming a very divided nation, and the thought is some of this is intentional. The thought is that we're being divided over racism and over vaccinations and over politics, and maybe it's by design. The more powerful the government becomes, the more people turn to the government for solutions. The same government that might be dividing us, causing the division, we're turning to them for answers. The theory is governments and kings find it very effective to keep subjects in constant anxiety. Anxiety keeps them in their place. Fear makes the monarchy firm. Fear is what gives them their power. Is that what's going on in America today? And I say that to contrast that to Jesus, who's the King of all kings. In his way of going about things, he doesn't want his people to be anxious. He says, do not worry. Stop worrying. He doesn't want to secure his kingship by cultivating anxiety. The aim of Jesus is to free us from worry, to free us from anxiety. He doesn't need to keep us anxious in order to establish his power and his superiority. No, instead, he proves his superiority, his sovereignty, by working to take away our anxiety, by working to take away our fear. His will for you this morning is that you not be anxious about things. To me, that just shows that we serve an awesome king. And so I want to get into this, and three reasons why we must overcome. We need to overcome. First of all, Jesus says it's a waste of time. Which of you, by being anxious, can add a cubit to his span of life? It's an elbow's length to your life. You can't add anything to your life by worrying over it. You can literally worry yourself to death, but you can't worry yourself to life. So it's a very pragmatic argument here. Anxiety doesn't get you anywhere. It doesn't do you any good. Anxiety will not lessen your problem. It will only make you miserable while you try to deal with it. So don't be anxious. It's useless. Worrying accomplishes nothing. In fact, it often makes matters worse. When you worry about losing your hair, what happens? Your hair falls out. You worry about getting sick, and you worry yourself to the point where you are sick. You worry about losing your job, and because of that, you can't function. Your performance is terrible. And the end result is you're going to lose your job because you're worrying about it all the time. So it's useless. First of all, you realize it's useless. Secondly, it's a faith issue. Jesus says, oh, you of little faith, right in the middle of the text. He says, Pete, of little faith. And I'm thinking, great. Not only do I worry about everything, now I got to worry about I don't have enough faith. The old English word for worry actually means to choke or to strangle. It was used, and I don't know what that word is. I saw it in so many commentaries, but nobody told me what the word was. It was used to refer to practice of wolves killing sheep by biting them around their neck, strangling their prey to death. That's where the word worry comes from. It gives you a picture, and I want you to think, this is what worrying does. It chokes you. It strangles you. Now, I'll give you a verse to back this up. Matthew 13, verse 22. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is a man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. The person hears the word, receives the word, but worries so much that the word can't penetrate. The word can't do what the word is supposed to do because of anxiety, because of worry. There's the Greek definition of the word worry is to be drawn in two different directions. Worry literally pulls us apart. That's what worry does. It pulls us apart. Now, I think it's exactly what Jesus is trying to say when you can't serve both God and money. You're going to be pulled apart. You can't serve God and anything else because it will pull you in two different directions. Don't let worry pull you apart. Don't be anxious. Worry leads to unbelief. It's unfruitful. It's a trap used by Satan to destroy our faith. It's one of his favorite traps. Worrying is when I put more faith in my problems than I do in God's promises. Is that what we're doing? I'm worried about my problems. I'm not listening to God's promises. And third, what I want you to see here, worry is what pagans do. You know what pagan is? A pagan is an unbeliever. And this is what Jesus is saying. If you're worrying, you're acting like an unbeliever. Pagans live for pleasure. They run after things that they think will satisfy them, but they don't satisfy them. They crave, they diligently seek the things that leave them empty. Is that what you're doing? Jesus spends 10 verses analyzing anxiety, and he urges us not to act like pagans who don't believe in God. When we worry, we're acting very much the same way the world acts. We don't trust God, we don't listen to God, we don't seek God, and we're not going to be blessed by God. Anxiety is atheism in action. We're called to be different. And a fourth one I added here, I don't see it in the text, but something I came across, which I think is brilliant. Think about how anxiety and worry. Think about how many sinful actions come from this, from us not handling this well. You get worried about finances, and what does that cause you to do? It causes you to covet, causes you to be greedy, maybe causes you to hoard, maybe causes you to steal. You worry about being successful, and it makes you irritable. It makes you bad-tempered, ill-natured, grumpy. You worry about relationships, and it causes you to withdraw, be indifferent, uncaring. You worry about how someone will respond to you, and it might cause you to lie about something. It might cause you to be dishonest. You think about how many sins of this world could be conquered if we could get a grip on this thing called anxiety and worry. If we would trust God and do it God's way. A lot of sin would take care of itself. And we'll come back to the third thing, how to overcome. I talked about, look at the birds, be a bird watcher. Look at the lilies, take up gardening. The big point here, look at the Father. Look at your Heavenly Father. Look at how he takes care of the birds. Look at how he takes care of the lilies. If he does that for them, will he not much more take care of you? Verse 31, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Don't you know that your Father knows? Don't you know that your Father loves you? Don't you know that your Father cares for you? You look at his creation. You look at his love for you. And it's emphasized 12 times in this chapter alone, in chapter 6, where Jesus refers to God as our Father which art in heaven. He's not just some deity out there. He's our Father. And Jesus wants you to see him as your Father who loves you, who will provide for you, who cares about you, who knows what you're going through. When you worry, it also shows that you don't think our Father in heaven knows your needs, that you don't trust him. You don't have enough faith in him. Anxiety shows that we're too close to the world and too far from our Father. So Jesus says, and one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible, Matthew 6, verse 33, what does he say? Don't worry, be happy. No, that's not what he said. He says, don't worry, seek first. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be given to you as well. You got to get your priorities right. And break this down here. Look at these three words, the three start first words of this verse, but. It starts with the word but, which means there's a contrast here between how most people are living and how you are supposed to be living. You who call yourself Christian, you who put your faith in Jesus Christ. There should be a difference. Here's what the pagans do. Here's what Christians do. We seek first the kingdom of God. So I think that little word there is a big word. And then the next word is seek. And I want you to understand this is to earnestly seek. It says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Don't just cast your eyes that way. No, you pursue. You intensely pursue. Strive for. Go after. Hunt it down. Search diligently for the things of God. Does that describe your faith right there? Are you just giving God a glance now and then? Are you seeking the things of God? Intensely seeking the things of God. And then look at the word first. Which means our first priority, our first and ever dominant concern is the things of God, not the things of this world, not food, not clothing, not tomorrow. This is in the present imperative, and this is the stuff that really messed me up with Greek, but what this means is it's a daily thing. It's a daily choice, the way it's written in the Greek. It's not just one time in my life I choose to seek first the kingdom of heaven. No, every day I wake up to seek the kingdom of heaven, to prioritize the things of God. We need to stop making the things of this world the center of our lives. We need to start making the things of God the center of our lives. Put first his purposes. Hand over the situation to his kingly power. Have confidence that he will work for you. He will meet your needs if you're living for him, if you're seeking him first. I guess why so many scriptures stress in the Bible to look to God in the midst of difficulty. You can think of verse after verse after verse, and it's all telling us the same thing. Get your eyes back on God. It's saying Psalm 55, verse 22, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fail. Psalm 62, verse 8, trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, cast all of your anxiety on him, for he cares for you. There's verse after verse after. He knows you're going to go through this. He knows you're going to struggle. And the same struggles that we deal with today, the same struggles 2,000 years ago, same struggles. And it's the same message. Get your eyes back on Jesus. Get your eyes back on God. God is the doctor of my doubt. God is the antidote for my anxiety. God is a fix for my faith. The Bible tells me that over and over and over again. One person says, he who offers God second place offers him no place at all. The reason many of us have so many worries is because we're seeking everything but God first. So don't worry. doesn't say don't worry, be happy. It says don't worry, seek first. And I'm going to add another one here. Don't worry, pray. This is what Paul says, and it's beautiful here in Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. You could underline a couple words here. It says anxious. Before that, it says do not be anxious. Underline all that. About anything, you got to underline that too. Do not be anxious about anything, all right? All that. Don't do that. But in everything, by prayer, circle that word prayer. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving. I think thanksgiving is very important too. I'm not going to talk about that today. We'll talk about that in a couple weeks. Do not be anxious about everything, but in everything by prayer. Worry doesn't help, but prayer does. Prayer helps us get our priorities right. Prayer helps us get our focus right. Prayer is what we need to be doing. Paul also, he writes, God is able to do immeasurably more than what we can ask or imagine. Do we trust him? Do we trust him? Rather than trusting in our own power or our own wisdom, we need to place our trust in God. Anytime we find ourselves beginning to worry, that should be an invitation. We need to be praying. If you hear rumors of layoffs, you don't worry about it, you pray about it. If the doctor wants to run some tests on you, you don't worry about it, you pray about it. You take it to God and you leave it with God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard whatever you're going through. Cast your anxiety on him because he cares. And he cares specifically about you. If your knees are knocking, kneel on them. People worry about where the next meal is going to come from, having enough money to put food on the table. People worry about what other people think. People worry about tomorrow, the unknown, the future. And Jesus knew this. Nothing new. But he says, do not be anxious about your life. Jesus is not saying these things don't matter, because they do. Obviously, they do matter. That's why we worry about them. But Jesus is saying, watch your focus. Watch your focus. Are you going to be ate up by these things, the things of this world? Is your focus on you or is your focus on God? Is your focus on what you can do or is your focus on what God can do? Is your focus on your will or is it on God's will? Are you living like an unbeliever? Or are you living like a Christian? Are you seeking first his kingdom? Jesus wants to free you from any anxiety that you are experiencing. My challenge to you this morning, do you trust him? Do you trust him? Are you ready? If not, maybe you can identify it. Lord, oh me of little faith. Lord, I need to grow my faith. Maybe that's your story. Maybe you need to grow in your faith. Maybe you need to take that to God. Lord, help me to grow in my faith. Help me to trust you. Help me to keep my eyes fixed upon you. Help me to seek you first. Over all these other things, help me to seek you first. I'm just thinking, there's some of us in this room today who've been Christians for a long time, and we've been bitten by this disease called anxiety. There's some people in this room, you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord. Still living like a pagan for the most part. I would ask you to consider changing that. Make Jesus Christ your Lord. He wants to take the anxiety away. He wants to free you from this anxiety. He wants to bless you. He wants you to see what an awesome God he is. Are you ready to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior?